firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say?
When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith upon the earth? That's what Jesus asked his disciples, and it's a clue to what the earth will look like in the end times. Welcome to Through the Bible for this week's Sunday sermon titled, Will There Be a Total Apostasy of the Church? Let's take a quick Bible tour on the subject of apostasy, which literally means a falling away from the truth. In 1 Timothy, Paul reminded us that in the latter times some will depart from the faith. The Apostle Peter said scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts. In Jude, we read that there would be mockers in the last time. So, putting that all together, the last days will be characterized by mockers and scoffers who have fallen away from the truth, who walk according to their own lusts. Putting it like that, it makes you wonder how much longer it'll be. Well, today, in our sermon, our Bible teacher, Dr. J. Vernon McGee, answers the question of what the season will be like for the church. Let's begin now in prayer. Father, thank you for your word and your spirit who teaches us. These are serious days that are rushing quickly toward the end, and we intercede for those who don't yet know you. Please draw them to yourself today, and we would ask that they would trust you with their lives and their eternal destinies. Encourage those who walk with you now with the knowledge that you have the future in your safe hands. May Jesus' name be lifted high this hour through your word. It's in his name we pray. Amen.
I should like to read tonight in your hearing some verses from the third chapter of the book of Revelation. I begin reading at verse 14. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot, I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eyesalve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him, and I will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. And our subject this evening, therefore, is, will there be a total apostasy of the church? This is an area into which I've longed to go. The seven letters of our Lord here at the beginning of Revelation, they are personally written to seven churches that were in that area. There were other churches. But these seven are chosen for, I think, a very definite reason, because these seven churches cover the entire spectrum of Scripture, from the day of Pentecost to the parousia, that is when the Lord takes the church out of the world. You have the total pilgrimage of the church from the very beginning until the very end of its earthly march through this world. And each one of these churches represents certain sections. For instance, you begin with the church in Ephesus. That is the apostolic church. That's the church at its best. Then you have the church of Laodicea, the one we read about tonight. And that is the church at its worst. That's the apostate church. And so we have here in these seven letters written to organized churches, to the visible church. These were all local churches in these different centers, and these letters are addressed to the local church. Now, the appeal is made to individuals in these churches, and that's a distinction that many of us in fundamental circles need to make today. We have too many folk in our group today that like to say, I'm a member of the body of Christ. I'm a member of the invisible church, and I do not believe in becoming involved in the organized church. Well, I found out those people that are members of the invisible church are generally invisible on Sunday night, and they're not here tonight, by the way. And they also are invisible on Thursday night. In fact, they are invisible. When I first came here, I had several people that came to me and said, now, I won't be here this evening, but I'll be with you in spirit. And I found out we have a lot of folk here that are with the pastor in spirit on Sunday night and on Thursday night. And we now put those folk in the top balcony. You can't see them, but they're up there. They're with us in spirit. And they never say amen. I've never heard an amen from them. And also, they never give in the offering. They're just members of the invisible church. And I think it's time that we recognize that the Bible has a great deal to say about the organized church. And that's exactly what our Lord is talking about here. He's speaking to the organized church. And there is a second thing we need to note about these letters. He always has a word of commendation, not always. The church of Laodicea we read tonight, it has no word of commendation, no word for it at all. And then he has a word of condemnation, and you will find that there are exceptions to that. To the church in Smyrna, which was the martyr church, the persecuted church, it wasn't a perfect church, but our Lord is not offering one word of condemnation because literally, as Fox says in his Book of Martyrs, they were died there by the millions for Christ. He doesn't criticize that church at all. And he has a word, though, of commendation for that church. And the church of Laodicea, the period in which we are today, he has no word of commendation at all. That is quite interesting. It's all condemnation, by the way. And it would mean that you can fit these seven periods in. You begin with the apostolic church. You come to the church of Smyrna. That was the church. That was the persecuted church, the suffering church. And then you have the church in Pergamos. And that was when the world began to come into the church. And then the church in Thyatira, that is paganism unlimited. That's the church of Rome. And then you have the church in Sardis. That is the church that he does not commend it too much. He has words of criticism for that church. That is Protestantism. And then the church in Philadelphia, the church of brotherly love, the missionary church, and I think it's in existence today, too, as well as the church in Laodicea. And we are somewhere in that period, the Laodicean period, and that is where we are at the present time. Just where, I'd not be prepared to say. Therefore, there is this chronological order that you have in these churches. I recognize that there are other explanations, but I think the chronological order is the one that is predominant and primary. Now the question is, will the organized church become totally apostate? And in order to determine this, let's look at this last church, the church of Laodicea. And the church of Laodicea, and the names are quite interesting. Smyrna means myrrh, for instance. And it's called, by the way, Izmir today. And when we go there, we already have reservations at the Well, you guessed it, the Hilton Izmir Hotel. Someone has said that they were sure that when the first astronaut got to the moon, he'd find a Hilton Hotel in which to stay. And there's one there at Izmir, and a very nice one, they say, and it enables you to rotate out from there to these other centers. Well, it was the martyr church. And then the church in Thyatira fits like a glove upon Romanism, as the church in Sardis fits the Protestant church. And down now in the Laodicean period, and I'm convinced that we're in that period. Now, Laodicea means the rule of the people, justice of the people, a rule of the people. It is democracy, if you please. Our government today, as Daniel Webster said, is an unusual experiment, never been tried before, where the people make a decision relative to the government. But in that day, when you talk about the people voting, have you ever stopped to think how few people really voted in the 13 original colonies? First of all, no woman voted. And the second thing is, only landowners voted. They were the only ones that voted in that day. It was not, and no one under 21 years of age voted. My, how these candidates today are after the vote of these college students by wanting to reduce the age. Actually, very few people voted in that day. But the Laodicean church is a church where the people do a great deal of voting and talking. Our government may be a short-lived government. I'm of the opinion that the Laodicean church will probably have the briefest period of any church, of all of these. Several of these ran several hundred years. I saw a very interesting sign down in San Diego the other day. It was a picture of Uncle Sam, and he didn't have as usually his gray hair. He was a very vigorous-looking man, and he was pointing, as he generally is, and the wording underneath it was, "Remember, he's your uncle, not your daddy." I think that's the best that I have seen that has been put out in this day of propaganda. He's your uncle, he's not your daddy. We're living in a day when most people look to the government for everything. Now, today the church has moved into the realm where the people make the decision, and you have churches today filled with unsaved people. It's tragic. And it's impossible to determine the will of God by a group of Bible illiterates, unspiritual and worldly church members. You cannot find the will of God, and you certainly can't even do the will of God when you have that type of decisions that are made. Now, will you notice what he says concerning this church here? And we want to touch on these things rather briefly. "And unto the angel of the church of Laodicea write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God." And the Lord had a way, when he addressed all of these churches, was to take something out of that first vision that described him and apply it to the church. The only thing he takes out of the vision for the church in Laodicea is Amen. And Amen means just this, so be it. But it also means this, it's a title. It's his name, if you please. He is the Amen. He is the one that's going to bring the end to everything. And he's saying to this church, he will have the last word. This church can vote and do as it pleases. It can go into an ecumenical movement. It today can reject his deity. It can reject the word of God. It can bring in these perverts today and do nothing about their conversion. It can do those things, but the Lord Jesus says to this church, "I am the Amen. I have the last word." And he's called here. He calls himself the faithful and true witness. And may I say this to you, we're living in a day when people are saying we should listen to the politicians, we should listen to the commentators, we should listen to the scientists, we should listen to men in all walks of life. May I say to you tonight, as believers, there's only one that we should listen to, and that's the one who is the faithful and true witness. He's faithful, and he is the true witness. He is the one tonight that believers need to begin listening to. I frankly believe that right now in this nation, there's going on through TV and the press and all media for transmitting news and every method of communication, the nicest piece of brainwashing that has ever taken place. You talk about people back of the Iron Curtain being brainwashed. We're being brainwashed today. And many believers are being swayed here and yon. I get that today on radio. We have people, not all of them write lovely letters like these. Some folk write in and they are greatly incensed of the things we say about the Bible. They hear it differently. And we rejoice, frankly, when they take that attitude, because if somebody will become angry with me like that, they'll keep listening. And if they'll hear the Word of God, they get converted. And that's the reason that we are having so many write in that are receiving Christ today as Savior, is because it's obvious they're being brainwashed by everything today, and they're not hearing the Word of God. The Church of Laodicea needs to listen again to Him. He says, I'm the faithful and I am the true witness today. Now He brings against this church His condemnation. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. I'm told that there was brought into Laodicea by an aqueduct, or two aqueducts, I guess, cold water from a spring and hot water from a spring. But time it came down the aqueduct and got into Laodicea, it was lukewarm. And our Lord uses that in speaking to these people. He said, I wish you were cold. Cold means that they were in active opposition to the church and fighting the gospel of Christ. The problem today is that the gospel doesn't make people angry like it should. And the reason it doesn't make the unsaved man angry anymore is because of the lukewarm condition of church members today. They themselves are not hot, they're cold. They're lukewarm. They're not even cold. If they would be cold and oppose this thing in a very vigorous way. Preacher said to me this past week, he said, I told my congregation that I didn't admire the Kennedys. I didn't care for the Kennedys. But he says, there's one thing you have to say for them that we wish we could say for Christians. They believe in something, and that's politics. They believe in getting elected. And they've given two sons for that. And that last boy knew his life was in danger, and he was willing to risk it in order that he might become president of the United States. You may oppose them as I do in all their beliefs, but my friend, they were dedicated to something. I wish we had believers today that would be dedicated to something. Either be cold or hot. This lukewarm condition is sickening, and it is the thing today that characterizes Laodicea. It's the thing that characterizes present-day Christianity. Lukewarm means not hot, not cold. Hot means to be zealous, red-hot for the things of Christ. How many do you find like that today? Or you stand up out here in the stadium and yell for USC or UCLA, they say, boy, is he a fan. You stand up and say one little squeak for Jesus Christ today, and they call you a fanatic, by the way. You're no fan at all. We need people in a lovely way today, not in a ugly way, but in a lovely way, to take a stand for Jesus Christ and let people know where they stand. one of the criticisms that I've had of these men in public office, that when you get them in a Christian group, they tell about their faith in Christ. Why don't they stand for him out in public today? This lukewarm condition is sickening. We need those that will either be hot or cold. And give me one that's either hot or cold anytime rather than a lukewarm Christian. That is the thing our Lord says that he hates. He says, you're neither cold, you're neither hot, you're lukewarm. And then he says something that sounds rather crude. I'll spew thee out of my mouth. And if you want to know how literal it is, I'll vomit you out of my mouth. The Lord Jesus is saying to the church in Laodicea, you make me sick. You make me sick. I don't like the lukewarm condition. Either be for me or be against me. Take one position or another position. Stop your pussyfooting, your compromising. Either take a stand for me or resist me. May I say that's the thing that he's saying now to this church. Now will you notice verse 17. He says, thou sayest, I'm rich and have gotten riches and have need of nothing. And thou doest and know that thou art the wretched one and the miserable one and poor and blind and naked. Now this is the church that says that it's rich. Maybe you saw on TV the other night, and by the way, that's propaganda. It's preparation for taxing the churches. They had a program on the wealth of the churches, and it was accurate. There's no question about that. That the wealthiest corporation in America today is not Standard Oil Company or General Motors. They are poor compared to the churches. The wealth of the churches in this land today is tremendous. Have you ever stopped to look around Los Angeles at the valuable property that they own? The church is phenomenally wealthy. And today, the way the church measures its success is by its financial statement. That's the way the denominations do. You go to any denominational meeting, as I used to go, and if you're in the black, you can say, hallelujah, we're having a revival. And believe me, you're in a terrible way when you get into the red. May I say today that the spiritual barometer has become the financial statement of the church. The church says it's rich today, and it is rich. And probably will be taxed. And don't misunderstand me, I'm not opposed to it. That's the only place that I know I agree with the liberals. I think the church should be taxed today. We've come to an America that is no longer, can even be called a Christian nation. And as a result, we find the church accumulating wealth, buying property. Why, the wealth of some of our schools today is phenomenal. And they still are after it. They build up reserves. They get wills from people. I saw where Christian College in the past year has been given over $2 million. May I say to you that they have need of nothing. And believe me, my friend, they act like it today too. You don't question them anymore what they're teaching because they don't need your support anymore. I think one of the tragic things of the hour is the wealth of some of our fundamental organizations today. Now, don't misunderstand me. They're still crying for money. But nevertheless, the wealth today, the church of Laodicea is a church that is rich in material things, and it boasts of the fact that it's rich in material things and increased with goods and has need of nothing. And the Lord Jesus Christ says, you're wretched. You remember what Paul said in the 7th of Romans, oh, wretched man that I am. Paul knew he was wretched. The average believer today does not know. He's living a defeated life. He thinks it's a normal life. He doesn't know that he's a wretched individual. If we could only discover our condition and let the great physician look us over and tell us that we're in a wretched condition today spiritually and miserable, and that means an object of pity today. That's the picture of the church. That is the picture that our Lord draws of it here. Now let me move on. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire. The Lord has not gone off the gold standard. And he has plenty of it, by the way. And he's talking about gold that's been tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich. And these are spiritual blessings. The thing that he said to the church in Ephesus, that is one of the churches he's writing to here. The church in Ephesus, he said that you've been blessed with all blessings, all spiritual blessings. And we're rich today. And again, Paul talks about the riches of his grace today. Oh, how God tonight wants to enrich each one of us spiritually this evening. He longs to do that. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire. How do you buy it? All you bring to him is faith, and hold out the hand, that thou mayest be rich in white raiment. And that white raiment is that righteousness that he clothes the sinner with. That is the thing that we need today and need to rest in, and not our own works, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. The city of Laodicea was a very rich city in Paul's day and in John's day. It was a Roman city. In fact, the matter is, Cicero came to Laodicea and lectured. It was a city of culture. It had a medical school. It had a temple there to the god of medicine. And it was one of the main temples in which they worship. And Laodicea had a salve and a powder that they shipped from there. The salve was for the eyes. The powder apparently was for the hearing, for the ears. And it was a great business, tremendous business. Now, the Lord Jesus says to this church, I suggest that some of you get in the real eye salve business, the kind that can open your spiritual eyes. And that, of course, is the Holy Spirit. He alone can open our eyes to behold wondrous things out of his word. He alone can teach us. The Lord Jesus said, I'm sending him to you. And when he comes, he's going to take the things of mine and show them unto you. He'll show you things to come. He'll lead you into all truth. That's the eye salve that is needed today. And yet, you look about you at the church in this present hour, throughout this land of ours. To begin with, very few churches have a Sunday night service. A few years ago, you'll remember, they tapered off with book reviews. Our Lord Jesus says what you need is eye salve, something to open your eyes that you may be able to see in the Word of God. You can see the things and see Him, if you please. That's the thing that's needed by the Laodicean church. And now he has a word of admonition for this church. He says to it, behold, no, let me back up just a little. He says to this church, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Two things that he asks this church to do. He asks the church to be zealous, and that's the same word for to be hot. He says, be hot. Don't be cold, and certainly don't be lukewarm. Be hot and repent. And repent is a word that was given to all seven of these churches. Every one of them had that word given to them. We today think that repentance is for the unsaved, the man outside. I'd like for you to show me where God asks the unsaved to repent before he believes in Christ. And I'd like to ask you, can any man repent before he accepts Christ as Savior? The only repentance that God's ever asked a lost man is found in the word believe. You remember that Paul said to the Thessalonians, how ye turn to God from idols. The repentance is turning from, and it's metanoia, it means to turn around. And my friend, I know when you turn to Christ, you have to turn from something. You can't turn to something without turning from something. But you have to do the turning to first. And therefore, when you turn to Christ, there is the repentance. And for the Christian, it's repentance from then on in. How many of you have confessed your sin today? How many of you believers ever go to God in confession and tell Him you're wrong? Tell Him what you've done. He says to all the churches, repent. That's the message for the church today. And we pass it on to the outside world. God is saying to the outside world what Paul said to the Philippian jailer, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Now when that Philippian jailer, Roman, brutal, he had to be brutal to have that job. He had to be brutal to have been asleep while men had been beaten in an inch of their lives, were lying down in the dungeon of his jail. He had to be brutal to have a job like that where he had paid Rome so much for it. But this man turned to Christ, and when he did, he turned from those things. And he became one of those lovely saints that Paul wrote about when he wrote the church to the Philippians. Repentance is for the church, and there never was a time when the church needed to repent as it does today. But yet we don't think we need it at all. Now, we agree that the liberal needs to repent. We agree that the other fellow needs to repent. But we don't feel like it's for us today. He says, as many as I love, I rebuke them and I chasten them. And the chastening of the Lord today, Peter says it's not pleasant, and it sure isn't. But it's an evidence that He loves you. And my friend, if He doesn't chasten you, there's always a question about His love. Have you ever noticed that it's only the father and mother who paddle their own child? They don't paddle the neighbor's children. God's not whipping the devil's children. He doesn't worry with them. He takes care of His own. He disciplines His own children. And He deals with His own children. This is the message that He has for this church. Now will you listen to Him? Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man... Any man. What about the doctrine of election? I know nothing about it. If any man, you believe in the doctrine of election? I sure do. If any man, well, what about election? I don't know anything about it. He never showed me the list. He said to me, if any man, and it's a legitimate, sincere invitation to any man, if any man will hear my voice and open the door, I'll come in to him. I'll sup with him, and he with me. Will you notice several things, and I'm through. This is the plea of a Savior who loves even lukewarm church members. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be hot, therefore, and repent. And He today is still the meek and humble Jesus. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Thou glorified Christ tonight, we ought to come to His door and knock at His door and plead at His door. But He's still the humble one who came to this earth 1900 years ago. He's still going about, and He's still saying, behold, I stand at the door and knock. He's the same one that He was 1900 years ago. He's still meek and lowly. And He's truly concerned tonight about you. He is. Then will you notice? People can belong to a church and not hear. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. A man right here at the Church of the Open Door said to me some time ago, he said, McGee, he was a member. He said, I sat here for 3 years and listened to you, and I never heard a word you said. You may be like that tonight. Have ears to hear, not hear. Our Lord says, it's possible. You can belong to a church and not hear. And then anyone can hear. You want to. He that has ears to hear, let him hear. Any man will open the door. You listen, I'm knocking. Anyone can hear. And then the third thing that's so prominent, the door opens from the inside. Holman Hunt, years ago, painted a picture of Christ at the door, and I'm sure you've seen it. It's probably the most famous picture that's ever been painted of Christ at the door. After he'd completed it, he invited some of his artist friends in to criticize it, and they offered certain suggestions. One of them said to him, Holman, you missed it. You left the handle off the door. And he said, no, I didn't leave it off. He says, the handle is on the inside. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Any man will open the door. I'll come in to him and sup with him and he with me. The handle is on the inside. Will you hear me? The Lord Jesus has moved heaven and hell to get to the door of your heart, and he won't crash the door. He stops right there, knocking. If the door's open, you'll open it. He won't. This is the picture of the church of Laodicea, the last church. Will there be a total apostasy of the organized, visible church? Listen to the Lord now himself in Luke 18:8. When the Son of Man cometh, will he find not faith, that is the abstract quality of believing, but will he find the faith, the body of truth that he left here, the doctrine of the apostles, as it's called in Acts. Will he find the faith upon the earth? And that's asked in the Greek in order to get a negative answer. And the answer is, no, he will not find the faith. I believe that there will be a total apostasy of the organized church before he takes the church out of the world. And again, I went through this yesterday, and I'm not going through it tonight. But you go through and look up these words that have to do with the faith. He says, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong. Who's he talking to? He's talking to you and me. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, the body of truth. Why? Because in the last days, the church will depart from it. A great many people are distressed today, and naturally so, that all the denominations, the great denominations, are departing from the faith. I was raised in the Presbyterian Church. I'm amazed how far they've gone in apostasy. They have practically repudiated the Westminster Confession of Faith, which is probably the finest document that's ever been composed outside of the Bible. They have turned their back on it. The Methodist Church did it years ago. The Baptist Church has. The Christian Church has. These great denominations that had a creed that was sound, they've departed from it. I believe in the organized church there will be a total apostasy, and that believers will be outside of the church at the time of the rapture when the Lord takes them out of the world. I think we're moving that way today. And I'd be very frank with you tonight, I would be very much discouraged and downhearted and despondent if it wasn't for the fact he already told me how it was going to work out. He said it would be this way. And he said to me, stand fast, stand fast. Stand fast in the faith today. And that's all I'm asked to do and all that he's asking you to do in these days. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we truly thank thee for thy word. This is a black picture we've looked at, but it's the picture that thou didst give. We do pray that we may recognize the conditions that we are living in today. We pray, therefore, that the important thing for each individual is to make sure that he is standing in the faith, that he today is on the Lord's side, that he today is in enjoying sweet fellowship and has a relationship with him. We would pray especially for anyone that's here tonight that's in a church that is actually an apostate church, that's not today proclaiming the word of God. We pray, O God, thou wilt deliver them from an atmosphere that's bound to have an effect upon their lives. Help us to have the courage and conviction in this day to stand for the things of God and stand for the faith. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Stand fast in the faith today. That's Dr. McGee's challenge for you and for me. Stand for what's important to God and stand for what brings honor and glory to the name of Jesus Christ. That's no small order and a challenge that's really impossible to achieve except through the Spirit of God at work in us. You know, that goal to live for Christ in every situation, that life can only be lived God's way. Dr. McGee wrote about this in his booklet, Living the Christian Life God's Way. And he also encourages us to live for God in another resource, What Can Believers Do in Days of Apostasy? Now, both these booklets can be downloaded for free on ttb.org, or you can purchase print versions. To order, call 1-800-65-BIBLE or visit ttb.org. That's also where you can purchase today's sermon on CD titled, Will There Be a Total Apostasy of the Church? If you'd like to listen to today's sermon again, ttb.org is also the place to find a link to either download or stream the audio. That's also true for any message and for all messages in our 5-year journey as well. And some people might ask, do you really mean that I can listen to or download every lesson on the Bible Bus if I wanted to for free? And the answer is yes. Some would say that that's really a bad business decision. Many people have told us that. Why give it away when you can charge for it? Well, that decision goes all the way back to Dr. McGee's founding principles for this ministry. The purpose of Through the Bible has always been to get God's Word into your hands. And Dr. McGee believed, and we still do today, that when people are blessed by the teaching of God's Word, they'll be generous in their prayers and their financial support. Through the Bible's history can speak for itself. One of the last things that Dr. McGee said was that after his death, we should just, quote, play the tapes until the money runs out. So you can tell that, well, we're still playing his tapes, maybe in a digital format now, because God has faithfully raised up people who help keep this ministry on the air. If that's you, then we all thank you for your generosity and gifts given in thanks for how God is using this ministry in your life. And if you've been blessed and you've yet to support Through the Bible, then please first pray for our effectiveness together in taking the whole word to the whole world. Remember, God says that prayers of a righteous man are effective. And then as God leads, help us keep gas in the tank of the Bible Bus. You can give your gift online at ttb.org or call us at 1-800-652-4253. Now join us tomorrow for our weekly journey through the book of Revelation. I'm Steve Schwetz, entrusting you to know the God of all grace and mercy.
Jesus made it all, unto him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain.
This program's been brought to you by the faithful friends and supporters of the worldwide ministry of Through the Bible Radio Network.